black, black, black and black, black, my thoughts so black, black, black and black, my skin is so black, I'm rocking all black, everything is black.
Black rims on these black wheels, black, this black, black wheel, put this black,
black on black, 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 black.
I feel like Trayvon with this black hoodie on, Huey P. Newton, black revolution. With a Nubian queen and some illegal aliens. I got a black fist balled up and it ain't just me, it's all us. 400 years of oppression, I'm about to give me that black Tesla. Black skid marks on the pavement, cops wanna see me in a black cage. Black on black on black, Master Juba with the tap dance, Gucci with the dapper dance, tell them kiss my black.
Hey, welcome back, hottest show in the galaxy. It is Friday, March 29th, 2019, and we aren't live. That's right, we're not. But we give you content anyway, as you just saw in the first hour, my interview with Alfre Woodard. And I replayed my interview with Marianne Williamson, who is running for president. She has really changed the conversation around reparations, and I want to thank her for that, around healing and being a good nation and what it all means to be a good nation. I appreciate her for that as well. That's why it's important to have as many people in this race as possible. Every single person is going to bring something to the table that's going to change the dynamic of the conversation. Some of us are going to like some of the things. Some of us will not. And I wonder if this whole reparations discussion, because I know some people are uncomfortable with it, do you feel like it's really going to damage us? I don't think so. I think the more we talk about healing, the more we talk about repair, the more we talk about forgiveness, the more we talk about apologies, the more we will become the kind of nation that we need to be. So I want to thank again Marianne Williamson for being a person of her word. She showed up when I asked her, and I appreciate her immensely. Also in this hour, an interview I did with Lisa Davis. She's the author of Clean Eating, Dirty Sex. It is a book about sex, but not really. It's a cookbook. It's a health guide. It's a memoir, science-based, full of funny stories. And she is an amazing human being. So I hope you enjoy my interview with her. Coming up next, my interview with Lisa Davis, author of Clean Eating, Dirty Sex. Enjoy.
The Karen Hunter Show is an action show.
Get your daily dose.
Catch every episode of The Karen Hunter Show
on demand. Or listen on the SiriusXM app.
Or visit SiriusXM.com/on demand.
This is The Karen Hunter Show.
Welcome back to the hottest show in the galaxy. It's the Karen Hunter Show. We're here on SiriusXM Urban View Channel 126. And these might be two of our favorite topics, eating clean and dirty sex. I don't know. Some of you are like, yeah. Let me welcome to the show. She's the author of this book. It's Clean Eating, Dirty Sex, Sensual Superfoods, and Aphrodisiac Practices for Ultimate Sexual Health and Connection. We welcome Lisa Davis.
Karen.
Hey.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. What? I listen to your show all the time, as you probably know from my many tweets.
Why do you listen to
I think it's unbelievable
how people find us. You know, it's I had a Twitter conversation earlier, and it's like, it's weird because you're just doing your thing. So you don't know why people connect or how they connect. So how did
you know, it's funny because I used to, honestly, I would just listen to 70s on 7.
That's a good talent.
You know what I love is when I'm in the car with my daughter and there'll be all the songs that I would hear when I was a kid, and it kind of, you know, brings you back. And then I'm like, wait a second, I should start looking around. Why aren't I listening to everything else? So I happened upon you and I'm like, oh my gosh, she is amazing. You're talking about all the things that need to be talked about. You're talking about things that my parents would talk about, my grandparents would talk about, and I'm just so discouraged and saddened and sick about what's happening right now. And we need more voices to talk about it and to bring awareness to what's, I can't see. Yeah. I would start screaming in the middle of the show. I don't know how you do it.
I know you're here to talk about your book.
I know, but
and shout out to Simon & Schuster, my former publishing partner. This is a beautiful book, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
But I think it is important that we talk about these things and in the context of everything else, because I don't think we can have clean eating, dirty sex, and be happy and be, you know, in this space without there being some understanding that we're all in this together, right?
Exactly.
So how did you make the connection with humanity? Like, what's that?
Well, when I was a kid, long story short, so I'm Jewish, and we happened to live in this street in this neighborhood in San Jose, California in the 70s and 80s, where there was just like the most horrendous people. They were racist. They were anti-Semitic. They beat up my brother when he was 4.
How
called him Jew
up
boy.
In a neighborhood?
I don't know. We were always like,
there was no Yelp for the neighborhood.
No, not that. No.
Don't move in this neighborhood.
Don't move in this neighborhood. Yeah. It was just the street. So I knew at a young age that I was hated, and I didn't know why. And my parents would talk to me about it, and they'd also talk about racism. My mother's favorite book was The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. And she had it on her dresser like my whole childhood. And she would talk to me about it. And she would say, this is wrong. And people are people. And, you know, but I don't know why we never moved. But anyway, they put an M80 bomb in the Chinese people's lawn. They filled our mailbox with bees.
So clearly, and but it was a neighborhood where people were different.
Right.
So it had to be just a handful of jackasses.
It was a handful of jackasses, but they all lived on our street. And they're the type of people today. I'm not going to say I imagine they're wearing the MAGA hats. They flip an R. I'll see them on Facebook and I'm like, I'm not surprised. And you haven't changed. You haven't learned how to be a good person and value people and not be a jerk and a hater. It just sickens me. But there was a black family that I became very close with. They were on another street and nobody bugged them. They were like seven brothers. Oh my God, all gorgeous. And I was really close with Sean. I actually tried to find him before I met my husband, but he was already married. Damn it. Anyway, because we lost touch because they end up going to this nice private high school. And I didn't. And then we kind of fell out of touch, went in different circles. So I always felt more comfortable with people of color and people who were, you know, there was a gay kid in my neighborhood who people made fun of. And like for years, if I see a group of white teenage boys, I get really nervous. So when I saw that video with those little punks, it was like, you know,
right.
it freaks
triggered.
Me out.
Triggered.
So that's where I'm. And I just don't understand why everything. I feel like we're going backwards, and I think Trump is definitely the impetus. Mm. But it breaks my heart. And I mean, my mom died 23 years ago, and my grandfather died the same year or the year after, and they were both such good people, and they taught me such good values. And they would be just sick over what's happening.
I mean, I don't think we're going backwards. I think I think we are where we are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I've actually had to like re-examine. Louis Farrakhan has called for a black state. And I'm like, I don't think that's the solution. I think more segregation is not the solution. I think more people need to know more people.
I think so, too.
I had somebody email me. There was somebody on my show. And it's like, why do you allow that person on your show? Their views are diametrically opposed to yours. And I was like, but that's the good thing about life. We have people who don't agree with us and we should love them anyway. Right. I mean,
yeah.
And how do you get somebody who you don't agree with to agree with you unless you have a relationship with them?
Yeah, that's a good point. So that's true.
So I'm reexamining even how I feel because, my initial knee-jerk reaction is protection.
Right.
So let's build walls around ourselves. And then I was like, that sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah.
Let me reexamine this wall thing or this separation thing or this isolation thing and start to break through. So I love you on Twitter. So let me just say that.
Oh, good.
You
I thought maybe I was bugging you.
No, not at
like
all.
Obsessed.
And I would tell you because that,
yes,
that
you
person.
Are. I do like that. I love when people call in and you're just like, no, that's you're not making sense or what do you get to the point.
It's not personal. All
no.
right. So how'd you become a sex educator?
Right. So
like
I,
how does one become a sex educator,
well,
Lisa Davis?
Okay. So I have a master's in public health and I've worked as a sex educator, a diabetes educator, a hepatitis C educator, an HIV educator. So it's sort of you get kind of training on the go because you already have the basis of understanding public health and working with people in different communities and stuff. So I became a sex educator. I really enjoyed it. And then I also, after graduate school, I got into health media because I studied health ed and health communications. And I have several shows and I've always been the interviewer. And I was talking with a friend of mine and she's like, you need a niche because you're always highlighting other experts, but you have a lot of expertise yourself. So I thought, what do I love? What do I love? Oh, I love clean eating and I love dirty sex. Boom. Okay.
Let's do this. Okay. This love of dirty sex came about when?
But
exactly?
It's really...
Do you remember the age
that
you became?
Okay.
Dirty,
so
dirty
I don't know.
Person?
So the book is part memoir and I was the ultimate loser. I mean, I was not only picked last in gym, they fought over who got stuck with me. I did, you know, it was bad. I was just the most uncoordinated, I look back at pictures, Karen, I was actually kind of cute, but my home life was tough because my mom was chronically ill. Like, it's funny, they taught us great values, but my mom was chronically ill and we had to take care of her and it was just kind of a depressing environment.
And
then
you lived on a horrible street.
Lived on a horrible street.
Wretched people.
And I was scared of people, white people. And I just was, I would kind of walk around kind of hunched over and like an easy target. Like, instead of people being compassionate, being like, oh, that girl looks like she's having trouble. It's just like, let's pile on and be, you know, mean. So I didn't really have any self-confidence. And so when I didn't get my period, I know, being too honest, till I was almost 16. I had the figure of a teenage boy. So I had never dated, or rarely. And when I finally got male attention, I started to use sex as a way to validate myself and to feel good about myself. And it became a problem. Like, I had to get therapy. And now I'm happily married, 20 years, no cheating. I was becoming a bit of a flirt online at times. I had to curb that in.
Yeah, because that can...
It can... spiral. Yeah. But my husband and I are really honest about it. Like, he knows, and he'll be like, you're online a lot. What are you doing? I'm getting good, honey. I'm listening to Karen Hunter.
Don't put me in it. Oh, no. I'll reject that.
No, I'm teasing. No, all but right. I really would be listening. But it was tough, you know? And then I talk about really just eating tons of crap when I was a kid and kind of changing that because my mom had a lot of health issues, and I...
Was it related to her diet?
No, actually, ironically, she was a health nut, but she ended up getting fibromyalgia and she had some knee surgeries that they botched in the 70s. And man,
infections,
it was
hard. I'm probably sure all of that, right?
Yeah, so it's all in the book, but I talk about my struggles, and there's some humor too. It's very
self-deprecating. You're hilarious.
Oh,
I'm trying to figure out again how you married. So there's like a whole section on the female anatomy,
right?
Where you talk about the clitoris being the tip of the iceberg.
I
see the food connection, right? And then several of the recipes have like some kind of, you know, sexual double entendre with the salad dressing and things like that. Did you envision having a book? Because it's like 9.5 weeks up in this piece. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay.
Well, you know, it's funny because the thing that I'm proud about the book is it really is science-based. So I'm gonna get a little scientific here, but
please.
You really need three things. You need antioxidants, flavonoids, and nitric oxide. Every time I hear that beet commercial, I keep going, when's Karen gonna say sexual health? When's Karen gonna say
they
sexual
health? They
told
me not to.
Oh, I figured.
They don't want to be associated with that.
Oh,
but
okay.
The men that come up to me, they tell me that it works.
Oh,
and the women.
Oh,
so,
oh, completely.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just talking about just real.
They don't want me to.
Oh my God, it's dead. So I'm talking about real beets, okay? So we won't, I'm not going to say, but also that. So if you eat beets, you get nitric oxide. It's a vasodilator. It's going to dilate your blood vessels. If you eat foods with a lot of antioxidants, it cleans out, gets rid of the, you know, you hear about the free radicals and the plaque and all that junk. And then the flavonoids make your vessels more flexible. So
Flavonoids. That sounds like flavor.
Yeah.
So
flavonoids.
What kind of foods?
A flavonoid is a phytonutrient, which is basically a plant chemical. So anything dark, so dark leafy greens, the eggplant,
blueberries,
the berries. Oh, the berries are great because you got the nitrogen. I'm excited. I get flavonoids. You get the antioxidant and the flavonoids with the berries, and you get the nitric oxide. The best thing, though, they call it natural Viagra, is watermelon has L-citrulline.
Wait, time out. Back up, people. Watermelon.
I love watermelon.
Yeah,
me too.
Oh
my God.
I'll eat it.
So watermelon has L-citrulline. This is where my husband's like, honey, no one's going to want to know this one. I'm telling you anyway. L-citrulline that turns into L-arginine, which turns into nitric oxide. So there's foods that will turn that on. And blueberries and watermelon are definitely like the natural Viagra. As a matter of fact, there's a wonderful urologist in the book, Dr. Dudley Danoff. And he said that guys come to him and they're overweight and they're tired and they don't work out and they eat crap, the standard American diet, which I talk about. And he gives them a bridge. He'll say, I'll give you this Cialis, Viagra, whatever. But I want you to change. I want you to eat more flavonoids, berries, blah, blah, blah. Like everything that book says. And then if they do it, they won't need the pill anymore. So it really does work. That guy you're looking at, by the way,
Drew
Manning, he gained 75 pounds on purpose to better relate to his clients.
I think I've read
the
story.
Yeah, he's all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. This looks great.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful book, again. And I'm like partial to beautiful books. The
food
in
they
here.
Do a nice job?
Yeah, no, this is beautiful.
Oh,
you did a nice job.
Oh, thank you. Well, shout out to Erin McDonald. She's a registered dietitian for Clean Eating Magazine. She's a friend of mine, and we've worked together on different things. She did all the recipes. I gave her the foods I wanted, and she created them all from scratch, and she is a whiz with spices, so they're really good.
Your favorite recipe in this book?
The spiced chicken thighs.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
And that's because the flavor just... Okay, well, I have a combination. If you take the cauliflower mash and the garlic kale from the shrimp, the spicy shrimp, which I also love, and have it with either spicy shrimp or also with chicken thighs. I like that one, too.
Spaghetti squash and with tomatoes.
I love spaghetti squash. And I love zoodles. Have you had zoodles?
Never had the zoodles.
They're good.
But I just discovered spaghetti squash like 3 years ago.
Isn't it awesome?
I was like, where's this been all my life?
Yeah.
Like, complete pasta substitution.
Right.
Easy.
Right. It's so good. And there's no white flour in the book. There's no white rice. You got to stay away from the white stuff.
When did you change your diet, Lisa?
When I was 17.
What happened?
I was eating a lot of junk because I was.
What was junk for you? What was your junk
cookies,
du jour?
Cookies, sugary cereals, Cap'n Crunch, you know, that kind
okay,
of stuff.
Cap'n yeah. Crunch, yeah.
Girl Scout cookies. There's a thing in the book about that. Oh, my. Thin Mints. Oh, my. I must have eaten a million Thin Mints. It's amazing I'm still alive. But at any rate, no, I was really skinny, like where people would be like, oh, my God, you're so gross. It's like, that's not complimentary. I already felt bad about myself.
Right. Why pile
and
on?
And so I would just eat a lot. And I thought if I and then when I turned 17, I was like, this isn't working. So I'm going to take my mom's advice and start swimming. I got
what?
Really into swimming. See, I always avoided athletics because I was always so bad at it. But I've got you can't
yeah,
see
you
me.
You got reach. She's
I've got
tall,
reach.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you, 5'11"?
Yeah, 5'10".
Okay.
So I got, I ended up like being really good at swimming. So I swam in college. And then I just, all the stuff my mom and grandma told me about healthy living just kind of got to me. And then in school, I was studying anthropology. And the last class I took in my undergrad was medical anthropology. And I love looking at how different cultures look at medicine and health. And that's when I thought, okay, now I want to be in health, but crap, I just finished. So then I waited like 7 years and went back to school.
So the thigh recipe.
It's good.
It's good.
It's
okay.
good.
Okay. And that's your favorite. Why again?
Because the spice combination.
Okay.
But they're all really good. If you like dark chocolate.
What's your husband's favorite recipe?
He actually likes that one too.
Okay. All right.
So does my daughter.
Your daughter's adorable.
Oh, isn't she? Oh, she is. She loves you too. Although I have to be, sometimes she gets so upset. She's very sensitive. And then she gets really mad. She's like, I have to take a break because I'm getting too upset. She's so good-hearted.
We need more good-hearted, sensitive people in the world.
She's very
sweet. And I think
you're
one of them. So when people finish this book, first of all, they'll learn a lot about you,
yeah.
Lisa Davis, and your journey, because it's important. But I'm only on this kick because I want people to live their best lives. And I think a lot of us aren't able to accomplish things because we're carrying too much weight. You know, I'm raising my hand. And we're unhealthy. The diabetes rates, the heart disease rates in our community in particular are an abomination, and it really keeps us from living our best lives. So
it's true.
Every chance I get to talk to somebody who is doing this work, it's amazing. And also getting our kegels together.
Yeah, you can put a jade egg in there too. And
say what now? What is this jade egg?
It's an egg that's carved, and you put it inside of yourself.
Uh-huh.
And then you can, there's a string.
Where does one get one?
You can go online and just Google
jade eggs.
Uh-huh. And then there's a hole on each side. You put a string and then you can hang things. But I would start with just Kegel exercises first. This
oh,
is
you
like
mean hang things to
strengthen your vaginal
to create like
now there's our walls that I like.
Those are good walls.
The inside walls, yes.
All right. G-spot. When did you find yours?
I found mine, I don't know, actually with my husband.
Nice.
And it was lovely. I was like, whoa, what's going on? And there is advice in the book about
how to get there.
And how to get it.
I'm helping people out here.
Yeah, you are. But it's not dirty, though, really. I mean, it really is a play on words, you know. I don't think it's dirty. I think it's just people are uncomfortable talking about sex, and it's unfortunate. But I tell people, you can be celibate. This book will still help you with your diabetes, if you're overweight, if you need advice on hormones, fitness. And I'm really proud of the fact that I have info on our unhealed trauma, too, because I know a lot of women that have been sexually abused. And if you haven't dealt with that, or you're having PTSD or issues, that's going to affect your sexual health and your sex life. So there's a lot of good things to look at. And also, by the way, diabetes. I don't know if you know Charles Maddox, but you got to interview Charles Maddox. He's fabulous. He's actually the nephew of Bob Marley. That's not why you should interview him. It's just an interesting tidbit.
Interesting. Yeah.
But he's fabulous. And he did a show called Reversed. And he is really just revolutionizing the way people see diabetes. So he's in there, too. He shares his story.
One last thing, because
yes.
I'm going to devour this book. The recipes look amazing. The book is beautiful. Your stories are incredible. You know, if there's one piece of advice you can give someone who's looking to make a life change in this book, tell us one thing that you would ask them to do to start on this path to getting.
Okay. This is actually in the book. You have to find your why. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, like I'm at an age now where, yeah, I want to look good and stuff, but I want to be functional. I want to be an 80-year-old who's still walking pretty darn tall, maybe, you know, and able to still do some yoga or do, you know, get up off a chair. Like I want to feel good. So why is it, right? Yeah. You know, I want to be like my father-in-law, he's 85 and he still rides his bike around. He goes to the baseball, you know, thing and or, you know, he's amazing. And I want to be like that. So find your why, and then that will help motivate you. And there's advice in the book, too, to help get you motivated and keep you there.
That's important. Clean eating, dirty sex, sensual superfoods, and aphrodisiac practices for ultimate sexual health and connection. Lisa Davis, you're incredible.
Oh, I just adore you.
The book is sexy. It's got like peaches and grapefruit and everything looks like sex and bananas. As soon as you open it, bam, you get hit with bananas and all kind of drippy things. And it's just
drippy things. Can I get my website?
Absolutely. Give your website, your social media. Where can people find you?
Okay. So cleaneatingdirtysex.com. You can also go to itsyourhealthwithlisadavis.com. I do several podcasts. I have a regional NPR health show in Texas, but you can listen online. And Health Media Gal 1. If you want to find me, just
go
to Karen's
Media
feed.
Gal 1 on Twitter and Instagram.
On Instagram, I'm at, what is it? It's Your Health with Lisa Davis. I am terrible at Instagram. I post pictures of my pit bull. He's such a sweetie. My daughter, myself, and food. And I don't have very many followers there.
That's all right. We'll help with that. Lisa
you.
Davis, love you. Thank you
I
so
love
much
you.
For being here. The Karen Hunter Show. We'll be right back.
Rebuilding. Black Wall Street, brick by brick,
city to city.
This is the Karen Hunter Show
on Sirius XM Urban View, channel 126.